Chag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio. And why am I saying Chag Sameach? It means happy holiday. And why am I saying happy holiday? Well, just listen, and you'll find out. We're on 1220 AM as well as the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, and I feel quite blessed tonight to be your co-host along with Sheila Crawford, a perpetual student of God's Word and a minister as well. And we are so glad you decided to join us tonight. Join us as we petition our Lord not only to bless tonight's study, but to increase your desire to know Him more. And, you know, that can only be achieved through your Holy Word, Lord. And that is our goal, to aid you in that endeavor, especially now in these final days before the imminent rescue of His saints, before that trumpet sounds. Lord, may the power through your word increase our desire to evangelize with a burning urgency, resulting in many more souls getting saved. Saved before that trumpet sound. We thank you for getting us safely here to the studio tonight. We want to also lift up the family members of our listeners that aren't saved. And Lord, we know that you can break through the anything to get to someone's spirit and to their heart. And your repentance is, and their repentance, you lead them to it, Lord. And we just ask you, just lead these family members to repentance and to a knowledge and a fellowship with you through your word tonight. And in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we say
amen. Amen. Thank you, John. Chag Sameach to you as well. And we say that because this weekend, and on the Jewish calendar, it's Adar 13 and 14. And it's the time of remembrance for the thwarting of Haman and his army to annihilate the Jewish race. And it was totally turned around. The Jews were all spared, and instead, Haman would be hung as well as his 10 sons. That put another nail in Satan's coffin. Yes, along with so many other times that Satan tried to destroy the Jews, didn't he?
Oh, he sure did.
But I think it's very interesting that later, an even bigger nail was put into Satan's coffin when Jesus rose from the dead.
And Sheila, you did teach that this happened on the same anniversary date, Nisan 17.
Yes, Jesus rose from the dead on the anniversary date of Haman and his sons being hung.
Absolutely.
In other words, destroying the
works of the enemy.
That's right.
That's really cool. And the story, of course, is found in the book of Esther. And the book of Esther is read aloud in the synagogues. And it's called the Megillah of Esther.
That's right. It's called Purim.
Purim, yeah.
Purim. I always say it wrong.
Well, it's okay. That works, too.
But if you have children, now's the time to make sure they understand it, because it gives them a chance to dress up as medieval people, I guess.
I don't know. They can dress up as anything they want, I think.
Yeah.
And you've been to Israel. You've seen how they celebrate this one. That's a lot of fun they have with it.
They do.
Okay. We had 2 weeks off. What did we do?
We sure did.
What were we doing?
Well, I got some extra studying in and a lot more research, I might add.
Yeah, that's you.
I think it's amazing, really amazing, how I was led during the whole month of January to teach on Babylon. And remember, we took its origin way back to the churches of Pergamos and then showed how it flourished in Thyatira.
Oh, yes, from Revelation, sure.
And we showed how it's still here today in the Catholic Church.
In the form of the Catholic.
And there is no getting around that. It really is here. But then to have all this stuff happening with the Pope, after I had just been talking so much about it, I just think, well, it can't be a coincidence, can it?
No. There's no such thing, I don't think. But, you know, our God is so great. He puts this program together a lot of times.
Yes.
And I know that you had a good part in piecing this together as well, but we've got to give the credit to him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me remind you listeners once again, about our free radio archives. And this was a 5-part series on spiritual Babylon's infestation into the church as it's represented by the 7 churches in Revelation. And particularly that one church of the past that's about to come together again. It's going to rear its head. As soon as we are the restraining force because of the Holy Spirit, leave the earth.
That's right. We had a one-world church before. History repeats itself.
Yes.
We're going to get it again on a much bigger scale.
Yes.
It's also called Mystery Babylon,
the
mother of harlots, Revelation 17:5. And that's an important reason why we, the Church of Philadelphia, must leave, because all religions are joining hands.
Well, of course, and they're saying, oh, God, everybody worships the same God, but we don't, do we?
No, and we would not be here to do that.
So
we have to leave. It's very simple.
Hmm.
And as we said last month, even the Muslims will join it, and we have a picture of the last Pope, John Paul, actually kissing the Quran.
Now, this is a real picture, right?
I
saw that picture in the newsletter this month.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's up on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
You can see it.
You can see that picture.
Just go to the newsletters.
It's kind of startling, actually, to see that.
Very startling, very sad. And when I was in Israel, and I've told you this before, but I've actually heard many people, but even some Jews, the IDF in particular, the Israeli Defense Force, I was nearby, and they actually do say that they worship the same God as the Muslims.
Hmm.
And I have heard a quote from Netanyahu that he sent to the Pope after he visited Israel in 2009. Now, remember, at one point, the Jews didn't like the Catholics very well because of the Crusades and the Holocaust.
And the pogroms. And
yeah, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then as I was growing up as a Catholic, my mother said I wasn't even allowed to talk to a Jewish person.
Wow.
Yeah, because they killed Christ. So a lot of things have changed, but he went and he, of course, apologized for all of that.
That's great.
And Netanyahu wrote this, and I wrote it down for us to hear tonight. He said, "Your historic visit to Israel in 2009 offered a rare opportunity to give expression to the new relations between our faiths. I remember fondly our meeting in which you referred to Judaism as Christianity's elder brother, and in which you reaffirmed your commitment to a cooperative future between Jews and Christians."
Hmm. Wow. Well, you know, the Pope didn't try to evangelize or anything.
That's the problem. We're supposed to be evangelizing Muslims and Jews into Christian beliefs, and he didn't. But it's a good thing that he apologized, and I'm really glad that they've made up.
Yeah, that was a historic.
But remember,
thing.
There's a sinister undertone here,
mm-hmm.
and it's again pushing everyone into the one world religion, where they'll all join together.
Do you really think Netanyahu believes that?
Believes what?
One world, you know, like we all worship the same God and all that. He doesn't really.
I have no idea what he thinks.
Hmm.
I've never heard him. He studies the Bible. I would doubt that.
I would doubt that, too. Oh, yeah.
You know, but still, I don't know. People might not believe it, and they still go along with it. They sometimes think it's a good thing.
Well, they do. That's a prevailing thought right now.
Well, I don't know. I think you've seen this, John, the video on YouTube when the Pope met with all the world's religions. And that was the, which Pope was, that was Pope John, not Benedict, Pope John.
No, I'll confess, I did not see that.
Oh, you might want to look it up because
okay.
It's very amazing. But he met with all the world's religions and accepted them as one in God. Now, of course, the Pope wants to be head of it all. And again, I didn't think as I was teaching this last month that we would actually see the next Pope who, according to the accurate prophecies of Bishop Malachy of the 13th century, that the next pope would take the name Peter the Roman, and he would be the final pope who sees the destruction of Rome, and that's what it says. And Revelation tells us that and calls it Mystery Babylon. Anyway, that's basically what our headline for tonight's program is going to be all about. And I think you're going to be kind of startled. I have some pretty amazing news to reveal.
I think you are, too, and I think I probably will because you haven't told me yet. But before we get started, the phones are open. I should tell you, listeners, give us a call, 888-677-WORD with your end time question. And, so besides the Earth being hit with a large meteor, anything else in the news we should be looking at tonight?
Well,
that was pretty weird when you think about it, but yeah.
Yeah, and of course, Revelation says that that's going to happen, and there'll be more, guaranteed. In fact, there was. They reported one in Cuba, one in California, and I don't know, but they weren't as big as the one in Russia.
Yeah.
But it's happening. The Bible says it would, and it is.
And I was expecting to hear from people saying, what is going on? But, you know, nobody seems to really...
Well, it depends on who they are.
I guess so.
I got a few emails.
Did you get a few?
Yes,
oh,
I did.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I had no one. None of them. Oh, well.
But some people are in la-la land, and they just go on with life, you know?
Well,
but
it.
What about the lightning that hit the Vatican twice on the same day that the Pope resigned?
You know, I've been telling people that, and they look at me funny, but we have a picture of it. It's documented, and...
Oh, it happened.
I mean, what more sign...
It's not a hoax. It really did. It's not photoshoot.
This is a cliche, but what more sign from above do you need?
Yeah. I said photoshoot. I meant Photoshop.
Photoshop. Yeah,
it's
it wasn't Photoshop.
It's
not Photoshop.
That.
Right.
It was a real, you know, taken on someone's telephone, I guess.
Well, but. You know, it does say in the book of Job that, let's see, I'll read it from my version here.
I looked this up.
Job 36, verse 32. Talking about God here, he gathers the lightning into his hands and commands it to strike the target.
Wow.
Or as some translations read, strike the mark.
Yes. Wow.
That's
well,
interesting, isn't it?
I think there's something going on at the Vatican, but more on that in a few minutes. But just a quick bit of important news to report, okay? We'll take a lot of time.
Okay, well, we've been keeping everybody updated on Syria, so how about Syria?
Well, I understand that the rebels are even getting more help now from even Bosnia, Kosovo, and the Albania Mafia.
What's that?
Well, actually, I guess it's Al-Qaeda.
Hmm.
And they're fighting now even in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And again, it's between the radical Sunnis and Hezbollah, which are Shias.
Mm.
And it's so getting to where Israel is concerned.
I think they're getting a little nervous.
That they have a submarine on Lebanon's southern coast on the Mediterranean.
Hmm.
So, but Syria's Assad, and that's the president, of course, mm-hmm. has now taken away most of his troops on the Golan, away from the Golan Heights, which is opposite Israeli forces, to transfer them to Damascus to reinforce the defenses there.
Hmm.
But unfortunately, with him doing that, that leaves the Israeli border under rebel control only, providing jihadists with access to the Israeli border fence. Hmm. See, in other words,
that's
before the Assad's
forces were keeping
them
busy. Yeah, keeping them busy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But now that's not the case. And senior officers in the IDF's Northern Command really do believe it's just a matter of time before these Al-Qaeda-associated fighters will start hurling themselves at the border fence to break through. Either that or target Israeli military from across the Syrian border.
Wow.
So that's heating up.
So what about Israel? How are they taking all this?
Well, yes. they're watching Syria very closely. But here's what I think I need to tell you. That they actually plan on giving Barack Obama, when he visits next month, an award. And it's the country's Presidential Medal of Distinction. And Israeli President Peres's office said Monday, Peres's very left,
mm-hmm.
that Obama will be recognized for his unique and significant contribution to strengthening the state of Israel and the security of its citizens. Are you kidding me?
Could you have said that without the blood squirting out of your eyes?
I know it is, but there's more. That's why it is. There's
really?
More.
My gosh, okay.
Netanyahu has invited far-left liberal and rival Zippy Livni to join the government. And, I prayed that she wouldn't get enough votes to even be able to be anywhere near the government. And sure enough, he invites her. And then he puts her in charge of the peace talks?
Oh, my gosh.
This is absurd. I can only think that so he doesn't have to take the blame because he knows what's going down.
Wow.
So much is happening.
Yeah, with Barack Obama, that is so wild.
It is wild.
And we never thought we'd see that. But you know what? Our president did get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
Everyone was scratching their head on that one. So this follows suit, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
I think they're just trying to, what do they call it, stroke them or something?
Yeah. Keep everybody happy. Yeah, that's the name of the game. I don't think anyone in politics has any real convictions anymore on a whole. But I know there's some that really do. But
I don't know. It's just like every single day there's something more going on, and we're going to talk about more of that after we take a quick break. We haven't played our song, Don't You Want to Go Home, because that's really what this is all about.
Yeah, it's wanting to go home. Yeah, we're going to go home. We have to go home before all this stuff mentioned in Revelation happens and throughout the prophets, too.
Well, and I'm surprised that we'll probably even know who the false prophet is. But he, again, neither one of them, even if the Antichrist is around, and I'm sure he is, none of the end times characteristics will happen until after we're gone.
Yeah, we won't actually know who the Antichrist will be.
No, I don't think so.
We shouldn't. No, we shouldn't know. But there's a lot of people out there trying to figure that out right now.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Oh, okay.
I like it. It's, you know, what the heck. As long as you're not dogmatic about it, you know, it's just kind of fun.
Yeah, it is kind of fun. Yeah.
All right, let's play our song, and then we'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
Y'all help us out with this one. Come on.
There's a building program going on in heaven. Construction carried out by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now they say there'll be no dying in that city. No sickness and no sorrow will be known. The feeble will be young, no division on. This week.
back.
We could have kept going, but my goodness.
But welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Now, that's a good example of a song, heartfelt song, and that was coming from their hearts. I could tell.
Well, that's true. And, you know, when we have such a program that's kind of a, in a way, can be bringing you kind of sad, thinking of what's going on.
Yes.
You got to have the happy sugar with it.
Well, I've got to say, I don't listen to a lot of that kind of music, but I can tell when I hear that.
All the time.
All the time. I can tell when I hear it that it is so, they sound so sincere, and of course, people love them.
They're and
that's
called The Crabs.
Called Don't You Want to Go?
The Crab
Family. Yeah. If you have a question for Sheila, or maybe you would like her to speak at your church or your group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office. 440-834-9006. And an important reminder, your donation is still tax deductible, at least this year. And it's very vital to this Hebraic Roots / Prophecy Ministry. So send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or just use PayPal on our website. And any donation will put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your address, whether it's the email or that mailbox down there at the end of your driveway.
The snail mail, right. And we're not going to be getting mail on Saturdays after June. So.
I heard that was just a rumor. They're going to block
really?
It in Congress.
Are you serious?
I heard that from a postal employee.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, anyway, email is easy for me because instead of me spending the money on printing it out, you can print out your own copy and share with others or just forward it in your email to someone you care about. But do share the information, especially the many gold nuggets it often contains. Some great teachings, and they are also all archived on shofarministries.net.
Great. And be sure to check out our webpage where all the newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you can order teaching DVDs there as well. The phone lines are open. The numbers for your messianic eschatological questions, that was a mouthful, is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live right here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. So why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for March 1st and the first Friday of every month, because that's when we're at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio. And that's at 11815 Chillicothe Road. Route 306. We start at 7 p.m.
I will be
there with the lovely Melanie Pierce.
That's right. I blow the shofar promptly at 7.
Yes. So be prompt.
Yes, same.
Okay. Are you ready to continue this wonderful thing? We need to get back to that 12th century, prophecies of St. Malachi.
Right. And if you want to actually see all the prophecies for each pope, from the time of his, when he was alive, St. Malachi, then you can go to Wikipedia because it's all in there.
It is?
Yes, it
is. I didn't know that.
And I have about five from the last five popes that, if we have time, I'll talk about in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's talking about it because of the pope resigning. You know, they're saying, oh my gosh, you know, he said the 111th pope would be St. Benedict, and sure enough, not Saint, I'm sorry, Pope Benedict. And then, sure enough, his name is Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more. So let me just say this. I got to say this real quick. Since experiencing many false prophecies in my long life, okay.
You didn't give any, I might add.
No. I am very careful to test extra-biblical prophecy with time.
Yeah, as you did with Judah ben Samuel, the rabbi we talked about back in December.
Yes. And still, even when highly accurate, I never put all my faith in any extra-biblical prophecy and only accept it when they complement Scripture, never negating it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop Malachi does complement the Word of God, particularly, as I said, that Benedict would be the last pope before the final pope to bring man into the tribulation.
And you're saying then that this prophecy is something worth paying attention to.
I think so.
I do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that God does use words of knowledge in people as well as dreams and visions. And in fact, I'm hearing Jesus, and we've talked about this before, is showing himself in visions. to many Muslims and Jews in these final days, and they're getting saved.
And that is wonderful, and we know we are in those days because of so many things, prophecies,
right,
coming together.
That's right, mm-hmm. And so we don't really even need the prophecies of Malachi.
Right.
It's just interesting that we have them to confirm what we already know.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we're getting so much that I've lost track. Because it's not just a little here and a little there, but a lot here and a lot there.
Yeah.
And again, let me be clear. We do not need this prophecy to know the Antichrist is probably alive, and the false prophet must be as well.
Okay, but, you know, we'll never see either one of them act in that capacity, or at least that'll happen
not
after.
Not in that capacity
Till we're gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to speculate who the Antichrist is, you know?
Yeah, some people's hobby is that, I think.
Yeah, I know. But if Malachi is correct, we does look like we might know who the false prophet is, because many think it's going to be a pope or the leader of the One World Church, which almost has to be the pope.
Yes. You have good reasons for that.
A lot of reasons. And with all the other end time day signs, probably is.
Hmm.
Now, the origin of this soon One World Church was actually put into motion again in 1962, with the Vatican II Council by Pope John the 23rd. But he wouldn't be able to finish it, for he died in 1963.
Hmm.
And he left, I have a quote here from his dying bed, I guess, in May of 1963. He said this, "Today more than ever, we are called to serve mankind, to defend above all and everywhere the rights of the human person, not merely those of the Catholic Church." So there's already including everybody in salvation, basically. "It is not that the gospel has changed," he said. "It is that we have begun to understand it better." Wow. Now that's something right there.
Hmm.
And he says, "The moment has come to discern the signs of the times, to seize the opportunity, and to look far ahead."
Hmm.
Okay, so that's what he said. So he set the stage.
Yeah, he set the stage, and it's going to be pretty important stuff coming in.
Exactly. Vatican II Council was getting going here. It would take 3 years before it would be completed, and it was the next pope, Paul the VI, that would finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And he served from 63 to 78, and again, he finished the work. And he said this. He said, "The second council was something very new. Not all were prepared to understand and accept it. But now, these doctrines must be seen as belonging to the authority of the Church and indeed be attributed to the breath of the Holy Spirit."
Now, that is bordering pretty closely on blasphemy.
Well, it is.
I would be afraid to say something like that.
If you understand what they're saying, that, okay, basically, the gospel hasn't changed, so the Catholic Church changed the gospel with Vatican II. That's really what's going on here.
And I think for those of you that don't understand too much of Catholicism, that understand that it's Vatican II, because there's only been two in our lifetimes, I think, or one wasn't even in our lifetimes. They don't change things very often in the Catholic Church.
This
and this
the first
wasn't
time.
Yes, and this wasn't some kind of office get-together, you know, meeting here. This was this carries a lot of weight. And Catholic Church has how many followers worldwide, isn't
billions.
It?
Billions.
It's billions, isn't it? Okay, so this is a very influential thing here.
Yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So then John Paul II came along, and he was from 1978 to 2005, just before Benedict, who was actually part of the Second Vatican Council before he was even pope. And then he became the next pope who really pushed the envelope. And he's the one who wrote the Catholic Church Catechism, and I have a copy sitting right here on this desk, where he talks about all good people, which means all faiths, coming together. And if you have one of these books, it's beginning at paragraph 841. And he basically does say this, that we're all worshiping the same God, the Creator. And as we've already stated, had a large gathering of all religions, even the witch doctors, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, everyone was represented. They all prayed together, but the theme that stood out, of course, was that we all worship the same God. And this is the apostasy. This is the blasphemy. This is wrong. Soon after we see Pope John Paul II, we see him actually kissing the Quran.
Yeah, and you can see it, too, in the newsletter for this month. If you have it, I have it in mine. It's a startling picture.
It's on the web.
Yeah.
And anyway, that made me very sick to actually see that. It just really did. Now, there are many more things I could tell you, and I have told you a few things, as especially last month. But we don't need to know any more than what I just said here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's another gospel. And if I were still a Catholic, I would say to myself, you better repent and move over to the Church of Philadelphia, like Revelation 3 describes.
Mm-hmm. And Revelation 18:4 says to come out of her. Otherwise, you are a partaker of her sins.
That's right. Read it in context. It's talking about Mystery Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to leave. Don't be afraid to repent and turn to the Lord. He's so merciful.
Oh, he is. And you know what? He is giving us so many signs because he wants people to see them so that they will come closer to him.
Exactly.
That's why he's doing this.
Exactly.
And anyway, the current, but soon leaving, Pope Benedict, as we know, he continued nurturing the apostasy of all worshiping the same God doctrine. And today really is ready, this One World Church is ready to be implemented, and it will happen immediately after we leave. And will take effect for sure with the next pope. It's got to be. He's got to be the one.
It's got to be it. Just let me remind you, listeners, the phone lines are open for your questions or comments. 888-677-WORD, 888-677-WORD. And Friday, the 1st of March, at 7 p.m. in Chesterland, Sheila will be talking on this very same subject of Mystery Babylon and answering your questions right there. Right there at where we'll give you the address later.
That's right.
But that's coming this Friday, 7 o'clock, 1st of March in Chesterland. Okay?
Okay.
Can you fill us in on a little more details on this Malachi's prophecy?
Yeah, let me grab this.
You mentioned you might do that.
I think we'll have time.
Yeah, we've said it in the past couple of programs, but these last few are really interesting.
Yeah, just the last five. I'll just give the description that Malachi said. And again, this was in the 13th century.
13th century. So we're talking 1200 and something. So that's
right.
Yeah.
He described the 107th pope from him, okay, which turned out to be Pope John the 23rd. And anyway, he described him as being a shepherd and a sailor. And he certainly was, because he was the son of a sharecropper and a shepherd. And he was the patriarch of Venice, which was a seaport. So that kind of matches.
It kind of matches, yeah. You can make a connection there.
And the next one, number 108, was Pope Paul VI, and he was described as the flower of flowers, and that's all it said. Well, it turns out that his coat of arms contained three lilies, and so they took that to mean flower of flowers. It's the only coat of arms hardly that had any flowers, by the way.
Well, okay, well, that's really
so. And again, not
impressive.
Real specific, but, you know, enough where it could be. And then 109 was John Paul I, and they said that the midst of the moon was how he was described. The midst of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out that on the day of his ordination, it was on a half moon, and then he died a month later. He only lasted a month, which was also on a half moon.
That's interesting. How far away was that from Malachi's actual time, that particular pope, this Pope the Third?
Well, this was in the 1960, I think.
That was
in the 60s.
Yeah. Long way off from the
from
the 13th
but
century.
What,
yeah, that's kind of far.
700
up.
Years.
Wow.
So I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, the only reason he did all these, and you can get them all on Wikipedia, is to have you know, to give some credibility to know when the last one is.
Okay.
You know, so people at the end days would get more of a confirmation. And then the next one, of course, was John Paul II, and his description was labor of the sun. And apparently he was born on a solar eclipse. And I think he died on a solar eclipse as well, but I didn't write that down. I think I remember hearing that. So that's pretty cool.
That's That's
And then 111, of course, is Benedict. And he was described by the glory of the olive, and his and the nickname of the Benedictine order is the Olivetans,
mm-hmm.
which means, you know, taken from the olive, and they were a lover of olives.
Ah.
So, you know.
Well, didn't you, but you might figure, too, that Ratzinger knew that this was...
Yes, and I'm going to say that here in just a second, but I'm not going to jump ahead.
Okay.
But I will be saying about that a little bit. But according to the prophecy of the popes, there's only one pope left, and that's number 112 from Pope Clement. And he supposedly will take the name or be named Peter and from Rome, so Peter the Roman. And there are some who say Malachy stopped, and here's what I'm going to mention.
Yeah, at 111.
He actually stopped with Benedict,
mm-hmm.
and that 112th, Peter the Roman, was actually added in the 16th century.
Okay.
I'm just telling you because somebody said that, and I'm not sure, but either way, Benedict is still the 111th pope from the time Malachy had his vision when visiting Rome, so Benedict would be the last pope before the false prophet.
Hmm. Okay.
So, you know, either way, that's pretty good.
Hmm.
Furthermore, the fact that Pope Benedict the 16th resigned should raise a few eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some have said it may imply that there were just other forces that were coercing Benedict to adhere to a predetermined timetable.
I heard it was his age and his health.
Well, yeah, that's what we heard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not in the best of health, and he is a little old, but I don't think that's the total thing here, and I'm going to tell you why I think that.
Hmm. Well, you think, is this going to be a bombshell you're going to lay on me tonight here? Or
yeah, and I think so for a lot of people.
Hmm.
I do agree that there are forces who wanted him to move on so that the last pope of history could take his place. But again, I don't think he resigned for just his ill health. Indeed.
Okay, I give up.
He resigned.
You got to tell me why.
Because he knew that on February 15th, he would be served a warrant for his arrest.
What?
Yeah.
A warrant for his arrest?
I know, that sounds crazy.
Did he leave the Popemobile double parked somewhere? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, too.
Yeah, that was bad. But,
he knew it was coming.
That's unbelievable.
Okay, and of course, it's
for what?
For crimes against humanity and criminal conspiracy to aid and protect child torture and trafficking.
Oh, yeah, well,
for the cover-ups of the priests and all that.
Who's bringing this against him?
Well, it's called the International Tribunal into the Crimes of Church and State. You can go to the website, you can read all about it, and here's the address, itccs.org. itccs.org, and it stands for the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State.
Hmm.
Now, the warning of his impending arrest was issued and given to him on February 4th, so they gave him some notice it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
He never replied to that letter, but the following week he resigned, prompted by his secretary, Cardinal Bartone, and possible successor. And we'll talk about that more in a few minutes.
Well, really, Sheila, this is so unbelievable, but I think the Vatican has a lot of power, and I don't think anyone could ever really arrest him.
Well, I have a tendency of agreeing with that. And I understand the president of Italy is having a problem with it as well, and he's known for a while what was going down and is still actually deciding what to do about the whole thing. But I got to remind you that there, in 1929, there was a pact called the Lateran Pact between Italy and the Holy See, which established Vatican City as a sovereign state.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that the Vatican City would be invariably and in every event considered as neutral and inviolable territory. Apparently, there have been other repeated calls for Benedict's arrest over the sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. But this one actually has taken on some legs.
Mm, indeed it has.
But I also have, and I think it's important to read this part of a letter that was sent to the president of Italy from this tribunal. And here's what it says. I need not remind you, Mr. President, that under international law and treaties that have been ratified by Italy, you and your government are forbidden from granting such protection to those like Joseph Ratzinger, who have aided and abetted criminal actions, such as ordering bishops and cardinals in America and elsewhere to protect known child rapists among their clergy. Your obligation to the Vatican through the Lateran Treaty does not negate or nullify the requirements of these higher moral and international laws, nor does it require that you give any protection or immunity to a single individual like Joseph Ratzinger, especially after he has left his papal office. Close quote.
That is really something. This is serious.
It is very serious.
And what does our president think of this?
Well, President Obama does know about it. Apparently, Napolitano, the president of Italy, recently visited Washington, and I understand that the entire matter of the Pope situation was high on the agenda, so he's aware.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the Vatican is keeping and accused Joseph Ratzinger under their protection in defiance of international law. And no wonder his doctors openly said, well, he better not travel. So they were already given an excuse for him not to leave.
I see.
Because if he leaves, he risks being arrested.
Mm.
But anyway, back to Malachi's prophecy.
You know, this is, I think some people would kind of agree with this tribunal that maybe this is
well,
they might have had it coming.
Yes. I mean, there's only one that I know ever even had to go to jail. The rest just kind of disappear. Isn't that right?
Well, you're right, and too, some of the first ones that did just terrible, wicked things, in the very beginning of the papacy, I guess you'd call it.
So now do you see why maybe the lightning hit the Vatican and the day he resigned?
Yeah.
Saying something.
It is saying something.
But back to Malachi's prophecy, both Revelation and the final piece of this prophecy, whether added later or not, was still over 400 years ago. And that's where it states that Rome, the city of seven hills, will be destroyed during the reign of Peter the Roman.
And we only really have a few weeks to see who this
by the middle
guy's
of March,
be.
We're going to know who it is.
Interesting. And we might be looking at the old FP, as we call them.
False prophet. What most people are saying.
Hmm. Interesting indeed.
It's just, I mean, I can hardly talk. It's just... to be alive and to see all these things come together, just like the Bible said would happen.
I know.
And to see it.
That's one of the special joys of knowing Bible prophecy.
I know.
Even understanding a little bit of it is watching things come to pass before your eyes. How about all those people back in the 40s that were thinking that, hey, the Bible's prophesying that Israel's going to go back to the land, and the Jews are going to go back to the land, and the land's going to bloom.
That was.
I bet that knocked a lot of... a lot of people off their stools on that one because.
And you know, we're seeing all the foreshadows, the Braxton Hicks contractions before the labor begins. And what happens before the labor begins?
Mm-hmm.
When you have those kind of contractions, it just keeps going a little bit faster and a little bit faster. And now there's like a daily thing. I'm seeing something that just confirms the days we're living in.
Yeah, and
it's amazing.
And it's contractions leading up to the birth of the great tribulation.
And the birth of the nation of Israel.
I see.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, yes.
Okay, anyway, the Catholic Church is very aware of this prophecy, by the way, very aware. I would think they would want to discredit it, but maybe not. Maybe just the opposite. And now this is going to kind of be of interest to you. I did read where the conclave that picked Joseph Ratzinger.
And he's the new Pope Benedict, former.
The now Pope.
Now Pope. Was
soon
Pope.
Soon to be out Pope Benedict.
He's been out Poped.
Well, anyway, they purposely picked him because he was not from the order of Benedict. But not realizing he would choose to join that order and take the name prophesied so long ago.
And thereby that fulfills that 111th description that Malachi gave.
So even though they tried not to fulfill it,
It
turned out being fulfilled anyway. And also, since Ratzinger now, of course, has not died, perhaps he could recommend a certain cardinal that would fulfill that last prophecy, like he himself managed to do. and to be sure he would continue the next pope with the one world religion theme.
Wow. Well, we know that will happen because the scriptures tell us that, right?
That's exactly right.
And do you have any thoughts on who you think Pope Benedict would want in his place? Or?
Well, of course, there's a wide range to pick from, but I'm leaning toward his chamberlain and secretary of state to the Vatican since 2007, and we've already talked about him, Cardinal Tarcisio Pietro, which is Peter in English, Bartone, and he was born in Rome. And again, I'm not saying this because of his birth or his name of Peter, but because he's very close to this pope, and as I said, was the one who encouraged him to resign. And here's the other part. He would continue his goals and continue to keep the Lady of Fatima's third secret, of which many say was only half revealed.
Mm.
And his secretary, Bartone, is the only one Benedict told what it was.
And you think it was some recipes or something? The secret recipes that...
Why, because she was a woman?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Probably
anyway.
Not. Probably not.
Well, probably not.
No.
No, there are some who believe that the second part, and they've already did part A, but part B they kind of kept quiet because they think it gets into apostasy, possibly scandal, and I'm told even that there's demons in the Vatican.
Well, you already mentioned, I think, too, that there is a picture or a statue of Lucifer in the Vatican.
There is in the basement.
In the basement.
In one of the
That's
rooms.
A good place. For The basement would be the place where you'd want
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's easy to find, too. You can, again, go on YouTube, and it gives a history and shows you pictures down there, and I saw it.
Yeah, well, thank goodness for the Internet, because it is really, really helping.
I've learned so much.
It is helping so many ministries, actually. Okay. You did have a quote from that famous Father Martin, who was the ex-Jesuit priest that you wanted to share with us. He was actually a good guy.
I do, and yeah. I want to close on this because we're running out of time, but I do have to tell you this. He left the Jesuit priesthood because of all the stuff that was going on there, and he wrote many books about his personal experiences, but this is one thing he said in a taped interview when he was asked, who are the people who are working so hard to suppress the secrets of Our Lady at Fatima? And Father Martin responded, a bunch, a whole bunch of Catholic higher-ups in Rome who belong to Satan. They're servants of Satan, and the servants of Satan outside the church and various organizations want to destroy the real truth of the church and keep it as a stabilizing factor in human affairs. In other words, they want to have control. He says it's a filthy and dirty alliance. And that's what he said. He's dead now. He died in 1999. But, oh, my goodness gracious.
Did he die of natural causes?
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Well,
And I don't mean to laugh about this. This is all serious stuff. But, wouldn't it almost have to be some kind of demonic presence when you have all these priests doing the things that they've been doing?
And
that's not normal. That's demonic.
That is demonic. Wow. When you go to our radio podcast to listen, on our website, it's very easy just to copy the URL or whatever you call it. What is it called? A link. And paste it on an email. Send it. You can do it on the phone, too. And hopefully we can make a difference. Because actually, I know that God is in this. And it will make a difference. And you will be doing something for the kingdom and for your friends, family members,
that knows any Catholic,
brothers,
tell them to get out now.
Sisters, mothers, you name it. It's for them.
That's right.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're out of time. So before we go, I want to ask you, is Jesus Lord over your whole life? Or do you have just the head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction? It is possible to know the master of the universe, our God. Just get on your knees right now and repent of those individual sins that are lingering in your life. You know what they are, and they're weighing you down. They're keeping you from heaven. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes. And, you know, your soul never dies. It's eternal. It has to go somewhere, and there's only two places. And we know you want to be with God. You don't want to be with Satan, but you decide that for yourself.
And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep for he is the great shepherd. Do what you got to do. We're running out of time. Please.
Mm-hmm. We're going to leave tonight, as we always do, with the Aaronic blessing. From Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
That may be.
And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. Reminder, March 1st, Friday, 7 p.m., Chester Christian Center. See you there.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.